A very good morning, everybody. It is Aloha Sunday. It is Easter Sunday, and we wish you the very, very best as you celebrate the day in your own way. And thanks for taking the time to join us on this edition of Community Matters. My name is Rick Amati, your host. It is a public service program that is produced and presented by this Clear Channel radio station. I was sharing with our friends in studio that our broadcast company did a survey of stations all around the country and listeners all around the country. And the number one issue that people are concerned with is economics. And not only is it the economic conversation about our nation and about our government and things of that nature, but more importantly, it deals with the economics of our home, our personal income, our direction, where we are, dealing with prices that seem inordinately high, inflation that is affecting so many, and the level of debt that unfortunately has encroached upon us. So it is perfect timing that we're chatting with a gentleman here at home who has authored a book that is called The Super Duper Simple Book on Money. And we welcome Alan Aquina into studio with us. And Alan, thank you for taking the time. How are you?
Thank you, Rick, and happy Easter to you.
Thank you very much indeed, sir. Appreciate that. You know, I think we always like to start at the beginning. Let's chat about yourself a little bit. Tell us about you, please.
Sure thing. I was born and raised here in this beautiful state of Hawaii on Oahu. Mm-hmm. And I think where it all started with regards to the book and my personal finance company was when I was growing up. Growing up here through the six different public schools I attended, I always was on free lunch.
Right.
Now what that means is that my parents made below a certain income level. So those tough financial times, now that I look back on them, really built this desire and passion in me to want to know. I wanted to know about money. I wanted to know about personal finances, and it drove me. It drove me to find out.
Wow. You know, it's amazing. I mean, that's the imprint that most of us carry through, yeah, is what your life experience was as a kid. It's so, gosh, so profound. When you say born here, where did you grow up in? What neighborhood?
You know, between Waihewa and the North Shore, Kahuku area. So going back right. and forth, moving here and there with different family members. And it was a great experience. You know, back then when I was growing up when I was going to school, we used to get the tokens from the token lady for our free lunch. So you had to stand in the line. It was a little embarrassing. Today, I think the kids get all their cards so they can swipe it. Nobody knows if you're on free lunch or not.
Yeah.
But back in my day, we had to get the tokens. And so I used to think it was a bad thing, but now I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the things that I went through growing up financially, because it did raise me and did teach me very valuable lessons, which today I rolled out in this new book that I wrote, mm-hmm. The Super Duper Simple Book on Money.
Amen to that. I think we can commiserate a little bit, because there were moments when I was growing up as well, small town Midwest, and everybody knows everybody and all of that. It wasn't the school lunch, but it was when I was young in high school, I worked in a grocery store. And I would help our family by buying all of our groceries, because I was able at the time to sign the grocery receipt. And then it would be mm-hmm. deducted out of whatever my pay was. And there were times when my check would come and I would actually owe on my check, which really prepared me for adult life, by the way things have been
prepared
going.
Prepared you for debt and credit cards, right?
So that was the primer for that. But there was one Thanksgiving where we were having a real tough time, and some outreach folks brought over a Thanksgiving package mm-hmm. for us and prepared it. And I just remember sitting at the table, this dichotomy of, I'm very thankful for this, but I sure am troubled by the fact that we couldn't afford our own. And that's what's in my mind, too, as I grew up, and why money to me has been a conflict in some ways, where it's, I understand that the management is so important, but unfortunately there are some issues where I'm making up for saying, well, that's not going to happen again. I'm going to get this, and I'm going to have this, and my kids are going to do that. So I think we all have that kind of a personal experience that shapes our financial view.
Yeah, I think we do. When I was 14, I got my first job at the Waihewa Summer Fun Program, mm-hmm. right at the Waihewa District Park. And I was so excited to get my first check. I took that first check, ran home, gave it to my parents. I was wanting at that age to contribute and right. help out family, because some way I kind of knew there was a struggle. which I look back at that experience and I use those experiences today because I see the same struggles happening today with probably 99% of the residents here in Hawaii. There's a money struggle. There's a lack of financial education. We just don't know what to do about money or budgets or what kind of credit card should we get? Should we not get? What about our mortgage?
Right.
What do we do? Where do we go? That's the struggle, is just not knowing. I know people in Hawaii, they're tough. We're go-getters. And if we knew what to do, we would do it. We just don't know.
Yeah. Where is our primary education regarding finances found?
Based on all the research I've done, we learn about money management from our parents. That is the number one source. We learn through watching. Mm-hmm. So we watch our parents pay their bills, how they handle it. Unfortunately, maybe some of us had to hear the arguments that went on late at night about money and bills. And that's where we get all of our experiences, and we sort of draw on it. There was no formal mm-hmm. teaching of this is how you operate a checking account.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you use a credit card. This is how you pay off debt. There's mm-hmm. so many theories out there, and people are just guessing. But when you're not sure, then a little fear sets in. And when there's fear, people tend to step back.
Retreat.
They retreat instead of attacking. And that's what happens with our finances. We retreat. We don't attack it with everything we got. And when we retreat, it just gobbles us up even more.
Right. Boy, oh boy, this is going to be a great chat. Alan Aquina in studio with us. The name of the book is The Super Duper Simple Book on Money. Where can folks find this book, Alan?
Well, we got a treat for them.
Okay.
So this is my first book that I've ever written. I'm super duper excited about it. And so I, against the advice of all of my business buddies, I have decided to give away my book, the ebook version, away for free.
Wow.
To all of your listeners and to anyone that wants to download it for free for a 2-week period, which means during this 2-week period from May 1st to May 15th, anyone that goes to superdupersimplebooks.com or alanakina.com, alanakina.com, can download the ebook version for free. Yours to keep. Once you download it, you keep it forever. You can read it over and over again, use it as a resource. The other thing is you can share this book and the website to any of your friends and family. They can download it.
That's amazing. Well, listen, that is a tremendous public service, and we do appreciate it very much. And we'll refer to this again as our morning goes on. We're talking with Alan Aquina. So tell us about your folks, would you mind? A little bit about your family, and do you have any siblings? And
yes, sir. I come from a family of nine.
Wow.
There's nine of
just
us.
Just like my wife comes from 10. So
it's, yeah. it's a big family. We're spread out all over the place. My dad is a coach, basketball coach, teacher. So, good middle class, lower middle class family that believes in hard work.
Right.
And loving the island life here. So,
amen.
Yeah, great people. Love all of them. I'm the oldest of all of them, so I feel sort of responsible for the rest
exactly.
of the group. So,
exactly. Yep. Understand that too. The I just always love this part about growing up watching, hearing, because I'm a big proponent to ensure that folks understand that children, we don't give them enough credit for what they see here and viewing the actions that we do as their parents. I think what you've said is we already have people, their eyes and their ears are kind of attuned to the conversation now. What advice would you give to folks with children that if you do find yourself in a position where this is an issue, not so much to resolve it right now, but how do you handle it this moment?
Best advice for those of you that are parents that have children, like myself. My wife and I have 5 kids.
Wow.
Oldest is 14, down to 4 years old. 3 boys, 2 girls. The best way to teach them is through your example. You got to get your financial life cleaned up. You got to get on a budget and stick to it. Manage your money right. Talk about it with your children. The thing with me growing up, and probably you can relate to this and others listening, is that when we were growing up, It wasn't a good thing to talk to your parents about money at the dinner table. Mm-hmm. That was one subject that you did not bring up. You didn't ask your dad, "Oh, Dad, how much do you make? You know, what, let me see your paycheck." That was taboo, a no-no. And so because that was the case, it shut us off from learning that part of the game, the money game. Today, we need to be open with our kids. They're so knowledgeable. They're resourceful. They Google everything.
Yeah.
I mean, they know. So they're going to find out. And it's best if we get our game going on, and then we teach them by example, and then we communicate with them. And so I have this thing called the three S's of money that you can teach to your children.
Okay.
And so what I did is I went to Walmart, and I bought this this little mini drawer set that has three drawers in it, and we labeled each drawer with an S. So okay. This is where your money would go. So I don't give my kids allowances. They have to earn their money.
Yes, right.
So that's my personal belief. I'm not saying that's for everybody, but for my family and I, that's what we do. And so when my kids earn money, they split up their money between these three boxes. So there's money that we save.
Right.
There's money that we spend.
Okay.
And then there's money that we share. So those are the three S's. And this is how I have them break it down. The money that we share should be 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's donating to charity or church tithing, mm-hmm. whatever it is, you have money set aside. 10% of whatever you bring in goes to money we share in that drawer. The next box is money that we save. And I ask my kids to save anywhere from 40 to 50% of what they bring in. So it's a little higher than what you're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
But even if they're saving 40%, they have 10% going to charity. That leaves them another 40% to spend. So we need to let them have fun. If you take away their spending ability, they might just go buck wild one day and not learn anything. So you got to let them spend some of their money. So about 40% goes to the spending category. Found that to be very effective. The three drawer set is very affordable at Walmart as well.
You know, it's fascinating because even at my age, and I'm only 23, as you can see.
Yeah.
No. Even at my age, I mean, I'm attuned to what you're saying because, and especially with the kids, we do the same thing. We don't have a system like this, which has structure. And I think with finances and the management, structure is the key. And it's almost like, and I don't want to be flippant about it, but it's almost like an alcoholic admitting that he has a drinking problem. You know, when it comes to structure, I think many of us, we don't have some of that structure and discipline that's required to ensure that you are managing the money and it's not the other way around. How did you develop all of what's contained not only in the book, but also was this enhanced with an educational background? Was this a life experience background that brought you to the point of authoring the book?
You know, a lot of people ask me, well, how did you get here, Alan, to this financial education standpoint? It wasn't because of my college degree. I majored in biology.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no personal finance or finance background there. It really all came down to the personal experiences that I had growing up.
Right.
I really wanted to know that passion drove me to find out. And we put together a program that we could teach to middle class families. Basic fundamentals. So I started a company back in 2002. So this is going on our 10th year now, called 101 Financial.
Okay.
101 Financial is a financial education company or a financial school for adults, financial education school for adults. And I named it 101 Financial for a reason. 101 stands for the beginning, the basics. You see, I saw that there was a lot of other things out there like how to get rich and become a millionaire, buy and sell, flip houses, or invest in the stock market. But I couldn't find anywhere a book or a program that would teach me the basics. I just wanted to know the basics. I just wanted to know, how do I manage my money? How do I pay my bills on time and stay on track and build good credit? There was bits and pieces everywhere, but nowhere did I find it all in one easy to follow
mm-hmm.
place,
mm-hmm.
like a book or something mm-hmm. like that. And that's where I developed this company. And to date, we've helped out close to 7,000 individuals and families to manage their money better, to get out of debt, and to build their credit. It's been amazing. It's an amazing journey. And the book is a compilation of all of the experiences that we've had as a company, and I've had interactions with everyone, and the teachings that we've provided
right.
to these real live people, real live situations, real bills, real mortgages, real money issues, and all these experiences came back to me, and I was able to put it into a structured book. And that's where we have this super duper simple book on money.
Excellent. The five money principles everyone needs to know is on the front cover as well. Clearly, this is a siren call for people to focus. Would you mind walking us through briefly these five, please?
Yeah, no problem. First principle in the book is called money in. Money in is our income. Okay. So in the book, I talk about the three major sources of income. Number one, the majority of us have income through a paycheck from our job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's key. You need that to pay your bills and to survive. The second source of income for some people is from a business. So there's business income. And then the third source of income is through investments.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about investments in a little bit. So money in. So my thing about principle number one is to set a goal to have money coming in from all three sources.
Okay.
From your job, business, and investments. Okay. Principle number two, money out. Money out is our expenses. Anything that takes money out of your pocket that you cannot pay off. For example, you cannot pay off your electric bill. You cannot pay off your water bill, which we can probably talk about that later.
I think we should jump in right now because, Alan, you may have seen on recent news reports. What was the deal with the water bill you got?
Okay, so this made headline top stories yesterday, the other day.
Right.
We're building a house on a new lot, so we obviously have to put a new water meter in just recently. And so we got our second bill in the mail a couple days ago. My wife and I, as we always do, open up the bill right away. And you open up your water bill, and the bill, the due amount, the total amount due is in bright yellow. For all of you that get your water bill, you see it, it's in bright yellow. And to my surprise, the bill was $54,000. For the billing period.
That's crazy.
Not $54. Wow. $54,000.
Now, you have to remember that Alan actually uses Evian water for everything. So that's nuts.
So here's the thing. The previous bill, our first bill, it was $5.84. And we were complaining about that. I mean, we were calling the water departments, why are we getting a bill for $5.84? We never use it. And the support tech person on the other side said, well, even if you never use it, we bill everyone $5.84. So that was news to me.
Just because.
You're
on the grid or whatever.
It is. It's $5. You're going to pay that.
Wow.
So my second bill comes, $54,000. And then we look.
See, that'll teach you to complain about bills.
Yeah, don't complain about $5.
Don't put the flag up, man.
So they had us down for water usage of 131,000 gallons per day.
Whoa.
So we figured it out. That comes out to over the 76 days of the billing period. It comes out to like 10 million gallons of water. So we figured it out. So if you take 9 football fields, 10 feet deep, if you turned it into a pool, that's how much water they said we used.
Wow.
Crazy.
You got to cut down on that shower time.
I think
14-hour showers.
Got all this hair to wash. You notice here, my hair.
So resolved?
Oh, absolutely. You know we called them, right? We called them, and they sent somebody out. They found out no leaks, nothing. So they're doing an investigation, but it's absolutely wrong, and they have a bill coming to us for $0. So thank you, Board of Water Supply.
Even without the $5.
They might be waiving the $5.
Maybe waive it.
Maybe as a thing of the good luck.
That's an amazing story. Siren call for everybody. Pay attention to your bills.
Watch your bills.
Pay attention.
Yep.
Every bill. And you're talking about money out, and you can't. That's always going to be there. other examples that we should be aware of about
money out, food. You can't pay off food. You can't pay off your insurance or your cell phone bill. Anything that takes money out of your pocket that cannot be paid off and retired, that would be considered money out in your money out column. And you'll see in the Super Duper Simple book that I have downloadable worksheets that will help you to build a budget very simply and easily. Okay? Man, so that's money
that's
out.
Awesome. Okay.
Okay. Principle number three, money we owe. Okay, so we got money in, money out, and now money we owe. Money we owe is debt. This is things that we owe money on, we pay monthly that can be paid off. Things like mortgages, credit cards, car loans, student loans, personal loans, loans to our parents. Actually, you might not pay that back, but it's considered a loan. Okay. You want to have this under control. And I get this question all the time. Alan, what is the best and most efficient way to pay off debt? Mm-hmm. Here it is, very simply. Line up your debt like ducks. Number one, the first debt that you want to pay off is the one with the highest interest rate. You see all these different theories out there. Well, what about the one with the biggest balance or the lowest balance or the biggest payment? No. If you want the most effective return on your debt pay down, stick with paying off the highest interest debt first. All the other debt that you have, pay the minimum to satisfy the principal and interest. Do not pay anything less than that because you don't want to go backwards.
Right.
But for all of that, you pay the minimum. But for the highest interest debt, you pay the minimum scheduled plus any extra that you would free up from your budget. So on this budget worksheet, you're going to see at the end of going through it how much you have left over every month. And my suggestion is you take everything that you have left over and you throw that at the highest interest debt. Now, here's why. I believe that a middle-class family will get a higher and a guaranteed rate of return by paying off debt than trying to invest it in the market or in a CD or a savings account. Let me explain. When I analyze the numbers, I look at two columns. I look at the good money side where all the accounts that you have money earning interest for you, like checking, savings accounts, CDs, and retirement funds. And on the other side, I look at your bad accounts, all the accounts that you are paying interest on, the mortgage, the credit cards, the car loans. So when I add it up, on the good money side, typically an average middle-class family would be earning 3% on their good money.
Right.
But on the bad money side, when you average it up, it's in the double digits. It's 10 to 11% that we're paying because the credit cards are usually around 18%. The mortgages, 4-5%. Car loans, around 6-8%. Personal loans, same thing. So when you blend the rates, you're talking a 10 to 11% negative rate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. Where are you going to earn 10% on your money? What bank is going to pay you guaranteed 10% on the money you invest? You're not going to find it. So for a middle-class family that does not have time to research good investments and study the market, your best bet is to take all of your extra money from your freed-up budget to apply that to your debt. And once you pay off that first debt, typically it'll be a credit card. And let's say that credit card has a monthly payment of $200, and you pay that off in like 2 or 3 months. Now you take all of that payment that was going there, the $200 plus whatever came from your freed up budget, and you throw that at the next debt. Let's say it's a car loan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you use all of that extra money to pay that car loan. Now, now that car loan is going to be accelerated and paid down quickly. And let's say that car loan was $500. Now you have the $500 plus the $200 plus everything that you had from your budget all going down to the next one, which say is your mortgage. And when you start that roll down process and it's systematic, it's simple, easy to follow, and you see some success by paying off your credit card, now you got your car paid off, you get more motivated. And that's what I've seen happen a thousand times over. You get excited and you say, you know what? I was thinking that I couldn't last 30 years to pay off my mortgage, but I can pay that off in about 9 or 10 years. I can do that.
And we're talking with Alan Aquina, and the name of the book is The Super Duper Simple Book on Money. And contact info coming up in a moment. I've got to insert the D word because I thoroughly understand and logically see exactly that strategy. But there is a weakness that courses through many people, and that is, oh my gosh, I've paid my credit card off. look at all the money I have, and it's paying off the debt, but not acquiring any additional debt. And that's got to be the hand in hand on this, right?
Absolutely.
Pay it off, don't incur anything else.
Absolutely. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. When you get on a budget, when you follow this budget worksheet, it'll help to show you where you're at. And when you know and it sinks in, you will be less likely to start incurring more debt because you know the difference between good money and bad money. And you're seeing it and you're starting to you take a product that you're ready to purchase. Let's say it's a new flat screen, HD, 3D TV, whatever is out there, and you want it. When you understand the money game, you will be able to make that decision wisely. And you can say, hey, I don't need it, or maybe I do, or it fits into my fun money category.
Right.
But you got to understand the game first. Otherwise, the same cycle happens. That's... credit card, rack it up, refinance your mortgage, roll it all into the mortgage.
Yeah.
No credit card debt. Now you build the credit card debt. That's the same vicious cycle that the majority of us get into.
Please address credit cards for a moment. And that is, if you simply make the minimum payment on a traditional interest credit card, literally how long would it take for you to pay off that debt?
Okay. So here's an example. If you have a $10,000 balance on your credit card, which is close to the national average, at an interest rate of, let's say, 18%, and you're just making the minimum payments, it's going to take you 31.8 years to pay that off. And on top of it, it's going to cost you close to $15,000 in interest. So whatever you bought for $10,000 really cost you $25,000 and would be long gone before you even paid it off.
So that said, what guidance can you give us with the utilization of credit cards for long-term purchases with a longer payoff in term, or do we pay it off at the end of the month, regardless of the amount that we charge?
Here's something I want all of your listeners to understand. These three words, DCI. DCI stands for daily calculated interest. The banks charge us interest on every loan that we have. It's called the outstanding balance.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, including today, Easter Sunday, mm-hmm. they're still charging us interest. Even on your birthday, they're charging you interest. And it's just a little piece of interest every single day, and it adds up. And it's all tied to your balance. So this is why when you look at your statements on your mortgage, your credit card, or your car loan, whenever you make a payment, the majority of the payment goes to what? The mm-hmm. principal or the interest?
The interest.
Goes to the interest. So your principal amount shrinks very little.
Right.
Because it's not in the bank's best interest to lower your balance, because the smaller the balance gets, the smaller the pieces of daily calculated interest get. So that's why they want you to spread it out. And like today, I mean, I'm seeing car loans come across our desk. 8 years. I mean, 8 year car loans.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Did you see
actually.
That?
I have seen that. And it's ridiculous.
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 I mean, 5 years was pretty long before then. Then I started seeing six. Now it's eight. And here's the thing. They want you to stretch it out longer. It's not about the amount. It's about the monthly payment. How comfortable can we get you? It's about keeping you alive, Rick. The bank wants to keep you alive so you can earn a paycheck so you keep paying your debt and paying your bills. They don't want you too stressed out, so they make the payment smaller, like the credit card companies. Make the bill doable. Hey, we'll make it small, but it'll take you longer than your mortgage to pay off. But, you know, you don't care because you're not even looking at it.
Okay, so let's say you have a customer going into a car, buying a car. We just had the car show last week. See, a beautiful car that they would like. New, used, doesn't matter. Bottom line is they come to you with two different terms. One is the 60-month, which is the 5-year. And the other is the 72-month. The difference in the monthly payments, about $35, $40 a month. If you're the consumer going into that, it might sound better under the shorter term, under the longer term rather, that your car payment is $483 a month. But your other term at 60 is like $515 a month. Eat that other small amount, because in the long run, how much more interest are we going to save by shortening that term?
Could be thousands of dollars depending on the loan amount. Here's the thing. If you can't afford that difference, that $30 to $50 difference,
yeah,
you don't even belong in the market for shopping for a car.
Amen.
Right now. You need to keep your used car and just fix it up. But the key is, the shorter the term, the faster you can pay off any debt, the more interest you'll save on the back end, whether it's a credit card,
yeah,
a mortgage. I mean, here's the thing about a mortgage. I mean, let me test your knowledge, Rick.
Oh, boy.
Let me ask you, do you know what the word mortgage means? Have you ever looked it up?
I remember this, and I have, but I forgot.
Okay. So here's the word. Here's the thing about mortgage. I went to dictionary.com.
Yeah.
Mortgage is a two-part word. It's an old French word. Mort means dead,
yeah,
like mortuary or mortician. And gage is a pledge. Put the two together. What do we have?
You have a death pledge.
A death pledge. Congratulations. You have a death pledge, folks.
Wow. Well, I hope everybody's enjoying their Easter breakfast as we – Listen, this is essential, absolute essential information, and it's contained in the super duper simple book on money. And Alan Aquina joining us at a local production and publishing of really a tremendously informative book. Now, you mentioned earlier in the program, our conversation, log on to a website, could be one of two different sites. Folks will be able to access all this information, yeah?
Absolutely. My inside, my gut, my heart is saying, share this with the world. Give it away for free. It's your first book. You'll probably write another book or two, and you'll make money back later. But it's your first one. Give it out to the world. So for 2 weeks, from May 1st through May 15th, I'm going to give away the book, the ebook version, away for free. So you can read it on your iPad, on your iPhone, mm-hmm, your Kindle, whatever device, your home computer. And all you need to do is go to superdupersimplebooks.com or alanaquina.com. And we'll have both going to the site.
We were going through the five money principles, and we came to number three, and this was about debt, and you were explaining to us, literally lining them up in a row. So what would be the next step? Can we move to another principle, or is there anything else we should know about debt?
Well, right, debt, I mean, debt is huge. I mean,
it could be a whole hour.
That debt thing is a whole hour. I mean, just one last thing. What we're starting to see in the financial industry as the next potential financial bust is student loans.
Mm-hmm.
Reports just came out recently over the last several months that total student loans just surpassed credit card debt in America, over $1 trillion now. It's ridiculous. So it's affecting everybody from college students to retirees. This is a huge, huge problem. But let's jump into the principle number four.
Sure.
A little more fun here. It's called Money We Grow.
All right.
Money We Grow is investments. Okay. I break it down in this book into three very simple investments you can make. Number one, investing in paper assets. Paper assets are stocks, bonds, mutual funds, CDs, cash accounts, things like that. Number two is investing in businesses. Whether you start your own business or invest in a family friend's business, whatever. That's another good investment. And number three, real estate. Real estate, a lot of people ask me questions about real estate all the time. Now, here's my thing on real estate. There's two major categories of real estate. There's investing in real estate for cash flow and investing in real estate for cash now. Let me explain the difference. Cash flow means you're buying properties. Let's say you buy a house, single family home, to rent out. That's what we call cash flow. You're buying rental income is what you're doing. So it's all about the numbers. Don't worry about the house, folks, if it looks pretty or whatever. You're buying the rent on it. What can you rent it out for, and will it cover all your expenses? Plus, the other side of it is investing for cash now in real estate. What that means is buying and selling. So you want to buy a property lower and then sell it higher. That's And people can get involved in that. Now, my rule here for principle number four, Money We Grow, is to have investment income coming in from all three categories, from paper assets, from businesses and real estate. That's eventually where you want to go. And then once you start figuring out, you'll tend to steer towards something, one of those three that you like more than the others, and you'll start to focus mm-hmm. more of your time. Mm-hmm. But you need to get a general understanding, and this book will help you to get a start.
You know, I love that. It's diversification is the technical word yep. that I hear, but to get to that point, there is the 5 million pound gorilla in the very tiny room, and that is credit scores and your credit worthiness. Can you speak to folks, first of all, that might be having credit issues that they believe in actuality or by perception that they won't be able to participate because they're not going to be approved because their credit is not strong enough?
Yes, very, very key point. Credit has been a major problem for those of us that whether you're trying to rent a home, your landlord's pulling credit, you're trying to get a new job, your new employer is probably going to pull your credit score, then you're trying to get a loan to buy a house or a car. Credit is huge in our financial lives. So here's a couple things that I suggest that you do. Very easy. You need to know where you're standing. So you need to check your credit report and score. So these are two separate things, folks. There's a credit report, which is your financial history of everything you've done financially with credit cards or any type of loans, payment histories, everything. Here's how you can get your free credit report. Go to this website, annualcreditreport.com. This is a federally mandated website that has the three credit bureaus giving every consumer a free credit report from each bureau every year. You can get one. Okay, so start there. Get your credit report and check it over to see if there's any mistakes. Those are the first thing you need to fix. Those mistakes. Address is not right. You know, you paid this off and it's not showing. Call them right away. Get that fixed. That's the first step. Second thing is you need to know your score. Now that's like your grade on a report card for our kids. Each of us has a score put on us. And to get your free credit score, I always recommend going to this website. It's called creditkarma.com. Mm-hmm. Credit Karma will give you your free credit score. And they have a lot of great resources for you to use and follow along that will help you out tremendously. Once you have your credit report and credit score, now you know where you stand and what you need to do to fix it.
I don't want to dwell, but if the days in which we live, credit tightened up quite a bit. There's also federal legislation that's contributing to that. As an example, the whole mortgage meltdown, yada, yada. In order to turn that around, if you truly have had issues in the past and you want to turn it around to the point where you can participate in real estate investments and invest in a business on by your own merit, what strategy should you employ, first of all? Secondarily to that, about how much time? Because we hear about the 7 years, 10 years, all these marks. What's the reality of that FICO and that history, and how do we strategize to improve that the quickest?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the credit has tightened up, and what used to be an outstanding credit score, 720 back in the day, pre-recession days, it was great. Now it's 750, 760 qualifies you for the best rates on the market. I mean, you hear all these advertised rates, you know, get 3.85 on your mortgage. Really, folks, the only people that can get that is those that have an excellent rated credit score, which is 760 or above. Now, 720 was that just 3 years ago.
Right.
Now, how do we deal with that? Again, first off, you got to check your credit score, check your credit report, find out what's wrong, fix it. Some things will take longer than others, but today is where you start. You don't miss a bill or be late.
Would you recommend subscribing to credit repair firms that you either hear or read about?
Credit repair. Now, that's a whole other ballgame. Be careful. Some are good. Some are bad. Some get you on the hook to have you pay them monthly, and they say they can knock out so many things per month just to kind of string you along. There's a lot of great resources on various websites. The two websites that I gave you have great resources on how to fix your credit. Now, but that doesn't have to mean you'll be out of the game from investing in businesses or real estate, because there's a lot of successful people that I know that are big-time real estate investors and their credit score is horrible. I mean, they're getting commercial loans Because they know the game. They understand it. So just because you might be in the 500-600 credit score range doesn't mean you'll be out of the game. It just means you need to be more resourceful, and you need to have an education and understanding of this entire money game.
Excellent. Not only the book, but I would hope that, would you mind telling where folks can contact you directly for 101 Finance?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 101 Financial, we have a website. It's 101financial.com. That's our website. We have an email address, info, at 101financial.com. All the resources are there. You can send us an email, contact us, and happy to help. And we do a free financial analysis for everyone that comes to
us. What do you love about what you do?
You know, I love it. I can sleep good at night because every single day we help a family, a new family or individual, with probably the biggest silent problem that they have is their money. See, money is the number one cause of divorce in America. It's a family. It breaks up families. It causes huge messes and stresses. And I know every night there's mostly women sitting at their kitchen table roughly around 10:30 at night with their yellow notepad and a pen and trying to figure out the numbers. But what that yellow pad is filled with is really filled with tears. The paper is wrinkled from all the dried up tears on there because they're struggling. They're trying to figure it out. They feel alone. And that goes for men and women here in Hawaii and all over the country. So I feel for them. I see these problems. I mean, just the other week, I met a lady. She's 68 years old, just recently retired. Her husband's still working. She has a $620,000 balance on her mortgage at 68 years old. And you're wondering, well, how did you get – I mean, why would they even give you that kind of loan? You know, but they had solid jobs for 30 years, and they make a decent income. And so, banks just lend it. They just give that money out, not even considering. But she's stressed out, and I feel for her. My heart just goes out to her. And I understand the game because – the community that I live in with my family, I see it every day. I see it every day. Even though my financial life is completely changed and different than ever before, I'm surrounded by it, and I'm still in the trenches with people on every island in the state.
Can you give us an example of somebody you've worked with that came into your office, and you took a look at the numbers and their situation? And even for yourself, with all your experience, you kind of had a little shudder go through. And then with working with this particular family and or individual, there was an outcome that was almost like pulling the veil back. Could you help us understand from that point where it looked grim to where there was hope and security, what transpired briefly?
Sure. So I have this family, actually they're on Maui. The Inouye is on Maui. And the father worked for the electric company, so he did pretty well.
Well, $52,000 bills, I mean.
Yeah.
Even though it's water, electric, I mean, one
it's
way or the
other. It's all the same, right?
Utilities.
So they're doing pretty good there. And the wife was a hairdresser, just independent. She just cut hair. But they had two kids in college. And they had a mortgage that they just refinanced, which was right at about 28 years left to pay it off. They had several credit cards and a car loan and just making it barely month to month. And they got college tuitions and everything. They were stretched thin. First thing we did was we got them on a budget. We had them put all their numbers down on paper, everything. And you know what? It's shame. Everybody, we all are shame to show other people that we have debt. But you know what, folks? Everybody has it. Shame is out the window. Don't be shame anymore. Don't let that hold you back. But anyway, this family was a little bit shame, but we put all their numbers on paper. Then we started organizing it for them. We started teaching them how to stick to a budget and manage their cash flow. Because these people were never taught how to manage their cash flow, which is managing the money that comes into their pocket every month and all the money that's going out. It's that little piece of information that somehow was left out. I mean, who taught us how to manage the money from when it comes in to when it goes out? We've never learned that. This family never learned it. So we taught them these principles. And you know what happened for them? They're able to go from 28 years left on their mortgage, plus a car loan and several credit cards, down to completely paying everything off. Our initial projection when we did our free analysis was that they would have everything paid off in 9 years.
Wow.
They got super excited, 28 to 9, and they started working. But here's what happened. They got motivated because they saw the light at the end of the tunnel. It's not 30 years. It's 9 years. We can do it. So they got smarter. They started tightening up the belt even more. And they went from 9, and we did a new projection for them, went down to 5 years. What they started doing is they started freeing up money. They started investing in some real estate. Back in the day, they were doing real estate transactions, the cash now ones, where we're buying and selling.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so they took all their proceeds and put that back into their plan to pay down debt. And they eventually got out of debt in 3 years and 8 months.
Whoa. From the very beginning.
From the 28 years down to 3 years, 8 months.
Amazing.
Thing is we have thousands of stories just like that. And it's real local people, real local, hardworking people that they wanted to know. They had a desire to know. We taught them, and they had discipline to follow. And as they started going through the first couple months, which was probably the toughest part, you know, it's adjusting, then it became a new lifestyle for them. And it's just a few tweaks here and there. It's not anything major, but it's just knowing what to do with your money. Because just about every one of us, we have enough money from our jobs that we make. We just don't know where it all goes. Once you have a plan and you stick to it and you're disciplined, great things can happen.
We're talking with Alan Aquina, the super duper. Pardon me, I'm getting choked up over the information, Alan. Super duper simple book on money. And we're going through the 5 money principles everyone needs to know. It's contained within the book. And what we do recommend that you do log on to superduperbooks.com and also to Alan Aquina, AQINA.com. Between May 1st and the 15th, you'll be able to download the e-version for free and learn about the principles here. Of course, if we wanted to go ahead and buy hard copy, what's the best way to do it? Are we in the stores or should we
go?
No,
not yet. The official launch is May 1st.
Oh, well, perfect.
The official launch will be May 1st, the ebook version. And later on that site, we'll have the availability for them to buy the hardcover book or the paperback version, and they'll have that.
Excellent. You got a lot of good folks that are giving some very kind words about your efforts and about your work. A pop quiz.
That's a quiz for you.
There it is, and it's all within here, and it's bolstered with, you know, some of the personal stories and testimonial stories too. That very encouraging.
The book, even though it's small, you can see it's very thin. Will be able to be read in less than an hour. It's filled with videos that you'll have links to.
Right.
Those worksheets you can download, and there's success stories throughout each chapter that relate to the specific topic that we're speaking on.
Excellent. All right, we're at number 5.
Number 5. Let's not forget about number 5 because
absolutely,
this is the key to my success. I really feel this is the key. Number 5 is money we share. This is where we give. We help. We put an arm around somebody. We may not have money to give right now, but we can share of our time, our resources, and our knowledge. When you do have time to give, maybe you're giving to your church, your favorite charity in the community, or buying Lao Lao from the fundraiser for the local soccer team. Whatever it is giving back. And I feel that by giving back, you receive more. And we kind of know it. Just like the book, all the principles in the book, we know these things. People that read it's like, yeah, I knew that, but I didn't know it in this way. And I think that's where the book will really help you folks, is the way that the information is laid out, the steps that it's put in will put this money game all together for you and get you going on the right steps. It's not going to solve all your problems. You're not going to stop fighting with your spouse tonight. Mm-hmm. But eventually, over time, when you start implementing these principles, your financial stress level will go down tremendously.
It's an amazing endeavor that you've embarked upon for years now, but culminating with a book. Let me just go through a couple of things real quick because we only have just a couple of minutes
sure
left.
Sure thing.
We talked about kids. What do you think of economic education for kids and your kids in school, for an example, not to cite a specific school, but just in general, what are kids coming home with about knowledge of money fundamentals?
So at the high school level, they have a pretty cool competition where they put you on teams and you invest in the stock market with play money. I think that's pretty cool. But I don't really think it teaches them real life money skills because you're starting out with $100,000 to invest.
Wow.
I mean, and that's your play money. So, I mean, how many of us really will start out with $100,000?
Start out with 10 bucks and impress me.
Yes, exactly. You know, manage this money well and let's see how you do there. So, so you know, for me, I can just share with you what I do with my kids. We're open. We talk to them. We have rental properties that we bought. We have the kids come out and work on it. We have them paint. When we change tenants, they come in and they work just like we do. We paint. We talk to them about tenants. We talk to them about collecting rent and how all this fits in and where the rent goes and how they pay. And even some of the real estate transactions that I've been involved in, I've had my older kids, my two older sons, participate where they took some of their savings and they invested with us like an investor would in a real estate deal. And they got a return and I explained to them where all this money went and what it was used for. And those are the kind of things that you can teach your kids, folks, is just the little things that you're doing. Open up to them, share with them, and or talk to them about things you read in a nice book, a financial book or something you learned.
That's great advice. And I hope the message resonates, because it does with me today, that you are the example. And that's going to be the lingering impression that kids will have forever and a day. I'm going through when I was a kid, and it, to be honest, it was chaotic. I mean, it was just, you know, hand to mouth, and we'll put out the fire over there, and we'll move this, or we'll dodge that, but what over here? And so there was a lot of frenetic energy trying to keep things together.
It's funny how we sound and act like our parents later on in life when we really don't want to do that when we're younger.
Yeah. Oh, boy. That's true, though. But
it's true.
But the beautiful part is you're a testament to this particular evolution. Anybody listening right now, and here's one thing I'd really like to ask you about before we go. Is there an age limit on any of this?
For learning.
For learning and implementing and reaping benefit.
Great question. You know, I have my five kids. So the older kids, obviously, the oldest is 14 and 12. But I actually started teaching them about money when they're like six or seven. So, and I think I underestimated that. I think I could have probably started a little bit earlier. You can start teaching them things. I just learned this from a friend of mine. He has his kid buy the milk. He makes them go. He's right there with them and gives them the $5 to buy the milk. And it starts them out when they're young so they can see how much $5 is buying. And over time, when they go from 5 to 15, they can see what the price change was in milk. And now you can't buy milk for $5 anymore. And they're seeing the difference. So it's little things that you can do with your kids, having them purchase things, talk to them about what you're spending in food and clothes and all that stuff.
I love that. And I'm going to take it one step further for folks who might be a little bit older that are listening right now going, hey, listen, man, I'm 45. I'm 50, mid-50s. You know, that all sounds great. It's too late for me.
No. Never too late to learn. You can start right now today. You can change your financial life. It might not be dramatic or drastic, but little changes will bring an incredible financial peace of mind upon you because you're making an improvement. And when you make an improvement in your financial life every day, you start to see the light. And just like the noise I shared about.
Yes.
When you start to see that light at the end of the tunnel getting brighter and brighter, you run faster. You get better. So.
Amen.
Never too late.
Loved all of this. Loved it, Alan. Thank you very much for being with us today. And happy Easter to you and your family.
Thank you very much.
One more time with the website addresses and the dates that people should log out and see you.
Okay, May 1st, everybody. Anytime between May 1st and May 15th, if you go to this website, superdupersimplebooks.com or my personal site, alanaquina.com, it'll take you to a downloadable link that you can get the book for free. And happy to have you and share this book with you. If you have a comment on the book after you read it, have questions, there's a comment section. Please leave it there. Be happy to respond to you.
Alan Aquina, thank you so very much. We wish you all the best and aloha.
Thank you, Rick.
It's been a pleasure to be with you on this Easter Sunday. We wish you the warmest of aloha, one and all. Be sure and join us next time on Community Matters. My name is Rick Hamada. And folks, enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you next time. Aloha.